Gospel story this morning is a story that comes from a place very far away and a time long ago. In this case, the story that comes to us directly from the lips of Jesus himself, as recorded in the Gospel according to St. Luke. Now, on a certain day, Jesus was teaching a group of people, and while he was teaching them, a certain man stood up, a man who was a lawyer, in fact, an expert in the law, who stood up and said to Jesus, "Rabbi, how is it that we attain eternal life? What must we do?" And Jesus said to him, "Well, you're the lawyer. What does the law say about this?" And the man said, "The law says you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your strength and with all your mind and with all your soul and love your neighbor as yourself." "Very good," said Jesus. "You are right." And then this lawyer, who by this time sensed he was on a roll and wanting to justify himself before the other people in the group, said, "Ah, yes, Rabbi, but who is my neighbor?" And Jesus said, "Listen, there was a certain man who was walking down that very dangerous road that goes from Jerusalem to Jericho. And as one might expect, while he was walking down that road, a group of thugs, robbers, came upon him, and they beat him up, and they stole everything he had, and they stripped him, and then they left him for dead on the side of the road. And as the man lay there, barely breathing and unable to move, a certain priest came down the road, and seeing the man not moving and looking very lifeless, the priest, deciding that if he touched this dead body, he would be rendered unclean and unable to perform his duties, the priest crossed the street and walked by on the other side. Now a time passed, a short time, a long time, and another man came down that road, this time a Levite, a member of the house of Moses and Aaron. He also saw the man laying there, and he also crossed the street and walked by on the other side. Now more time passed, a short time or a long time, and a third man came by that place, and this man was a Samaritan who came by riding on his own pack animal, his own donkey. And when he came to the place on the road and saw the man laying there, This Samaritan was moved in his innermost parts. And he got down off his donkey, and he immediately washed the wounds of the man with wine, and then put oil on them to seal them, and then bandaged those wounds. And then he took the man, and he lifted him up on his own pack animal, and walked him to a nearby inn. And there he took care of him. And the next day, when he got up and had to return to his own work, he went to the innkeeper and gave him about 2 days' wages and said, "Now take care of this man, and I will come back in a few days, and if you have spent anything else caring for him, I will repay you for what you have spent." Then Jesus said, "So which one of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man laying in the road?" The lawyer said, "I suppose the one who had compassion on him." And Jesus said, "Right you are. Now go and do likewise." Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Since I've been here. I can't remember exactly when it was, but it's really nice to be back again. And on a special kind of a day, because in the blessing of oils, of course, in addition to remembering the anointing that goes with baptism, we also remember that oil is a traditional sign of healing. So it's nice for me to be able to be here to be able to think about this a little bit. And I have to say that as I was thinking about this whole theme of healing, it reminded me of an experience in my own life very, very long time ago when I was like 8 years old. And it was a snowy January Saturday. And I was kind of in the morning watching the snow come down. I got a telephone call from my friend down the street, Danny Burns, that his dad, Bill Burns, had offered to take a bunch of us in his truck and to load up our sleds and to go and do a little sledding in the fresh snow over at Whalen Pool. And they have these wonderful, those days they had toboggan runs too, but then these wonderful hills that you could go down on runner sleds. So I threw my wooden and steel runner sled into the back of the truck and off we went. And I can remember even now that it was a really cold day. But it didn't really matter that much to us. We were having a good time, and you know, we were going down the rush of going down the hills and then the long walks back up the hill with our sleds. We were keeping our circulation going pretty well, so we were doing fine. Until one particular trip down the hill, and I was going down the hill on my belly on this runner sled, and I looked up and suddenly realized that I was headed right for a small tree. And what I did realize is that the ice and snow had built up in the steering mechanism in that runner sled. And by the time I realized what was happening, it was too late, and I reacted too slowly. And bam, I hit that tree. And one of the wooden slats from that runner sled hit my right thigh. And it hurt. I mean, it really hurt. And I got up, and I could barely walk. And Danny's dad, Bill, he said, it's just a bruise. Don't worry about it. Just walk it off. So I tried to walk it off, but it did not walk off. So eventually, much to his frustration and disappointment, he decided this wasn't going to get any better. So he packed us up and took us home early, all because of me. But he insisted that before we went home, he was going to stop off so that we could get a burger and fries. It made me feel better. So I got home. I limped up the driveway and into my room, and then I started to take off my wet clothes, and that's when I saw it. I saw this gash that went all the way from one side of my right thigh to the other side of my right thigh. Apparently, the cold air had stopped it from bleeding, so I didn't know what really happened until I got into the warm room. I called my dad, and he came over, took one look at it, packed me up. They put me in the car and take me over to the ER, Resurrection Hospital. Got over there, the ER doc took one look at it and immediately called a specialist surgeon. So this surgeon came in, and before I even knew what was happening, I was in the operating room. Except, I couldn't have an anesthesia because I had just eaten a hamburger and a bunch of French fries. So the best they could do for me was a little shot of Novocaine. And I watched with very wide open eyes, very curious at age 8, I watched them as they did this procedure of carefully cleansing this huge wound in my leg and then gradually stitching it, one stitch after another stitch after another stitch, not only stitching up the skin, but stitching up layers of muscle tissue underneath the skin. And finally, about 100 stitches later, they were done. They packed me up and sent me upstairs in the hospital for the night. And then Dr. Fahey went to see my parents and very proudly announced that even though it was really touch and go because I was that close to severing my femoral artery, he was very convinced that it was a success and that I would probably walk again. At which point my poor mother just literally fainted that way. It had never even occurred to her that I might not be able to walk again. It took a really long time for that wound to heal. And it was uncomfortable. Those stitches holding the skin and the muscle together just did not feel right. But gradually, the stitches that they didn't take out dissolved on their own. Gradually, the muscle started to strengthen again. And pretty soon, I was back to almost normal. Although I have to say,
that, as you know, if you've ever had a bad wound, scar tissue isn't exactly like regular undamaged tissue. And it is still true to this very day that when I run, still 60 years later, when I run or when I take long walks, every once in a while, I get a twinge in that spot in my right thigh. And that twinge is a reminder for me of two things. First of all, it's a reminder of how frail and vulnerable we really are, even though we don't often think about this. But the other thing it reminds me of is the miracle. The miracle of God's ability to heal, even when it doesn't look like healing or feel like healing is going to be a possibility. And healing is not just a restoring of the flesh the way it used to be before you were wounded. The kind of healing, the kind of stronger tissue that comes with healing actually allows us to go further than we used to be able to go, actually to become something a little bit more than we've ever been before. The theme for the day, as I said a few minutes ago, and as you all know now, is healing. Healing is the word that we give to that process of restoring wholeness to something or someone that has been broken or damaged, fragmented or torn. It's a theme that is traditionally associated in the church with the festival of St. Luke, because ancient tradition is that St. Luke was not only an evangelist, he was also a physician. But even though technically St. Luke's festival day is October 18th, and it's still a whole month away, the subject of healing seems important enough to discuss at almost any time of the year. In order for us to respond to that deep truth that healing is a miracle that we all need, that we all long for in some form or another. And it's something that we long for usually more than just once a year. Because even though we do not all crash into trees, and even though we are not all beaten and robbed and stripped and left for dead on the side of the road like that man in the parable, we are all part of humanity, and we are all part of a humanity that has fallen and that cannot get up. At least not on its own. We all know the pain of having something that belongs together that is now being torn apart, severed, rent asunder, leaving a gaping wound in its wake. In some cases, it might be your union with God that is severed. Severed by doubt or cynicism, severed by our bitter disappointment with the church after revelations of despicable abuse, severed by confusion about why God allows so much unjust suffering in this world. Or maybe by the connection has been broken simply by indifference, drifting away. A lack of regular contact with the Holy One. At other times, the wound you feel may be a fracture in your relationship with a friend, or with a co-worker, with a husband, or with a wife, with a teenage child, or with an aging parent. Or perhaps it's the more raw and open wound of grief for a lost loved one, whose departure has left you feeling as though your very own limbs have been torn away from you. It is even possible that the separation that cries out for healing is an estrangement from yourself, that curious condition called shame, in which you come to despise the very earthen vessel within which you yourself must live. Because wherever you go, there you are. So So today, as we bless this healing oil, this balm of Gilead, perhaps you, people of St. Timothy Lutheran Church, perhaps you may also hear in the images of this tale of healing and compassion a reminder from Christ himself that the path to healing, no matter what kind of healing you seek, no matter what kind of healing you need, the path and the process for healing is always the same. Jesus calls you today to muster the courage to get close enough to examine the wound carefully, even when you would rather look away, to assess the damage, and sometimes even to look with X-ray vision at underlying problems that reside much deeper than the visible wound up there on the surface. Without taking the time to look closely, after all, how would we ever be able to see in the story we've just heard today that the cuts and bruises of the man on the side of the road were only the presenting problem, the real wound? The deep and dangerous gash was the gash that ruthlessly separated Samaritans from Jews, rich from poor, male from female, slave from free, flesh on one side of the great divide from the flesh on the other side. Christ the healer calls you today to cleanse the wound before your eyes in order to carefully remove the dirt and infection down below that might otherwise sabotage the healing, which is why we in the church always start our healing work with washing. Washing in water and in word. Washing that continues each and every day of our lives by the discipline of dying to sin and rising again with Christ. Because even though the disinfectant of this daily confession may sometimes sting a little bit, we all know perfectly well that no matter how well you patch things up on the surface without a deep cleaning at the start, the relentless deterioration of the soul down below just continues unabated. Christ the healer calls you today, you, to follow the example of the Samaritan, to go and do likewise, to become the human suture that reaches out across the gaping wounds of bitterness or hatred, jealousy or betrayal, pride or arrogance, bigotry or self-righteousness, to stretch out the flesh in your own hand toward the flesh of another hand that, quite frankly, you would rather not touch at all. Yet Christ calls you to do this. He calls you so that in time you may know the joy of reconnecting into one single body, that which God has joined together, but which we human beings have so brutally torn into pieces. Christ the healer calls to you here today to wrap the wounded ones all around you and among you in the protective bandage of a community. A community of support and affirmation and encouragement. A community that may even have the power to help you defend your places of vulnerability from the rage, the abuse, the discouraging and frustrating incivility and disrespect, the self-serving greed and all the other toxins out there that so often bombard us and beat us down and leave us on the side of the road feeling half dead. Jesus Christ, the healer, comes to you today in word and sacrament to nourish you and to encourage you to take the time to do the things that build up, instead of the things that always tear down. To do the things that build you and others up. To build your strength and resilience in your body, in your mind, in your soul, in your strength. And then this same Christ calls you to wait and to trust. To trust that no matter how alone or deserted or broken you may feel, the Jesus who is moved all the way down in his innermost parts will always find a way across the road that separates you from him. To trust in some way, perhaps in a way that you're not even expecting, God's healing will come to you. It will. And when it does, you may find that you have received something more than just a restoration of the old flesh. You may find that you have been given a healing that allows you to transcend the limits of your former self and to soar on the